Hi, everyone. I'm Larry. I'm a compulsive overeater. I just realized I didn't put in my name where I'm from. That might be helpful. I'm from Long Beach, California, which is probably about an hour or so away from the in-person meeting. So we're in the relative size of the world, we're pretty much neighbors. I feel like I'm in the area, not too far away. I'd like to say I appreciate being asked to speak at a meeting and to lead the meeting. I feel like it helps me with my recovery to share my experience, strength, and hope. And it also reminds me why I'm here. If any time I might forget why I'm in this program, then when I share my story, it reminds me of what things were like and why I'm here. So hopefully it helps you too to be able to relate to some of the things that I've gone through and some of the things that I've done to help and what I've gotten as the result of that. So I'll start by saying I didn't consider myself a compulsive overeater until I got in this program and started hearing stories from other people and found out I could relate. I always thought I was just overweight, out of shape. People made fun of me. I knew I wanted to eat all the time, even especially probably when I was a kid. I always felt like I needed candy or something. It didn't even have to be candy. It was just junk food or whatever it was. I felt like I needed to have something. And I felt like my parents were really constraining, I guess. Like they would only let me have things that was always seemed like a small amount of whatever it was, food or toys or whatever it was, watching TV. It always seemed like I didn't get enough and they wouldn't let me have what I wanted. And I think that may be what made it so hard for me. And I ended up doing things like stealing and lying and stuff like that to get what I wanted and sneaking around. And so I kind of grew up that way. I stole candy from stores. I stole money out of my dad's dresser drawer where he had his change. And it went on for a long time before I realized that I was doing something wrong. Well, I knew I was doing something wrong because it wasn't mine and I knew that was wrong. But it didn't matter if it was something I wanted and I felt like it was more than want. It was need. I needed to have something. And looking back now, I can see that's how I can say that I was a compulsive overeater when I was a kid is because of how I needed to have something. And it wasn't just, that sounds good to me, like some people might feel about food. I feel like I didn't have a choice. I was compelled to have something. And if I didn't have it, I would, when I was a kid, I would throw tantrums, I would break things, I would cause problems. And that was most of the time. Most of the time, I didn't have what I wanted. And so that's how I grew up. And then once I got older, and got more responsible, I behaved differently. And since I started working, I had money and I was able to get things I wanted. And also when I got even older, when I was in my around 20 or so, I started drinking and doing drugs with my friends. And that became a new part of my life. Like that was my I wouldn't say replacement for food, but that was a way to kind of fulfill the needs, the urges that I was feeling. Like I didn't have something I needed, and then so when I turned to drugs and alcohol, that kind of filled that in for me. Like food, I was trying to do with food, So I found other ways to deal with the way I was feeling other than food. But the problem is with food, I didn't like the way I looked. I didn't like going swimming, and I would wear a t-shirt when I went in the pool because I didn't want people to see me without my shirt on because I was embarrassed of the way I looked. And I probably wouldn't have been embarrassed of the way I looked, except I got picked on a lot by other people in school, especially when I was a kid. But even when I was older in junior high and high school, I got picked on a lot. I wasn't good at sports other than soccer. For some reason, I was good at soccer. I don't know why. But most other sports, like I couldn't run fast. I was always the last one running and got picked last for teams. And I just got picked on and made fun of a lot. So I had a lot of shame about the way I looked. Whether it was realistic or not, I don't know. Really, what I would have thought of myself if other people hadn't been telling me all along that I had these issues with the way I looked. I don't know if I would have been like accepting of it or what would have been, but I decided that I wanted to well, and I didn't date. I didn't go out with any girls. I was really shy and not confident and not I guess self-assured. Like I could like I felt I didn't think much of myself. My self-esteem was really low. So I didn't have the confidence to ask anyone out, and I didn't think I was really worthy of having a girlfriend. And I thought if I exercised and got in good shape, then they would come to me. Like they would see like this good-looking, physically fit guy, and they would just like swarm to me or something like that, because I knew I couldn't go to them. So I guess I figured if I looked good enough, they would come to me. And I didn't really think about it too much. I just wanted to look better. So I started exercising a lot, and that was probably the first commitment that I made to losing weight. And I think I was 19 when this happened. And I was good at it. I would go to the gym, and I would do the exercise bike and the treadmill, and I would run around the track and lift weights. And I would be in the gym for a while and went regularly. And then I started taking martial arts classes and did that for a while and got pretty good at that. So I started getting more in shape, and that was working pretty well. And I don't even know how much I weighed at that time, but I was looking good enough, I guess, and got a girlfriend that lasted for a little while, but I wasn't emotionally fit, I guess, emotionally in good emotional health. So that didn't last very long, and it was devastating to me because I didn't know how to have a relationship. My parents didn't really help me with relationships. In fact, they did quite the opposite and still do. My parents have not had good relationships and have like told me and my brother and sister not to talk to certain people, and it was always like that person's this and that person's that, and we don't talk to that person. And so I grew up thinking that's how life was, like very isolated kind of view of people and relationships. So I wasn't really able to deal with relationships. So that was really hard for me. That was probably when I really started doing drugs a lot. Until fast forward to when I was in my mid-30s, and I was doing a lot of drugs at that time. And even though I was doing crystal meth, I was still overweight. I don't know how much because I wasn't really paying too much attention at that point. I was pretty out there, and And I think I probably didn't eat as much as I would have without the drugs, but I was also smoking weed and eating a lot of cookies. So, it kind of balanced each other out, I guess. But I got drug tested at work and failed. And that was when I started going to 12-step programs. And the first 12-step program I went to was AA. And to me, it was like traffic school. It was punishment. It was just, I had to get my card signed and then go back to work. When I got my card signed and I tested clean, I could go back to work. And that was my objective, just to do. I don't know if people know what traffic school is, but it's when you get a ticket. They don't do it this way as much anymore, but when I was younger, I had to go to a courthouse for like 8 hours, and then they taught you like traffic rules and things, and they would like have some like police officer come in and talk to you, and it was like an all day thing. And to me, that's what a 12-step program was. I didn't even think of it as a 12-step program. I just thought of it as AA because I'd heard of AA, and to me, that was where my so-called friends would go if they got in trouble. They had to go to an AA meeting. And so I thought it was kind of the same thing. I didn't think of it as recovery from a problem that I had, because I didn't have a problem. Everybody else had a problem. My work had a problem. Government had a problem. The police had a problem. Everybody it was that didn't want me doing what I was doing was the one that had the problem. It wasn't me. And this is how I thought. So when I had to go to these 12-step meetings, I was pissed off. I was so mad. I was mad because I couldn't go to the holiday party at work because I wasn't working, because I got temporarily like suspended. And I was furious. It had turned my life upside down. And I had all these emotions now. Plus, I didn't have the drugs to calm me down. So it was like there were a lot of emotions, and I wasn't used to feeling emotions. And it wasn't just anger. I was having all kinds of emotions, every emotion. And I was going to chemical dependency. And every time I went, they would have me write down on this form. They'd give you a form, and I had to write down my emotions and how many days I was clean and things like that. So even though I wasn't doing drugs, I wasn't really recovering, because I was just going through the motions. I was just doing what it was that they were telling me to do so I could keep my job. I had a pretty good job. I didn't want to lose it. And so that's what I was doing. And since I wasn't recovering, I needed to fill that hole again that drugs was filling. And I used food, and I just started eating a lot. I would leave work like during lunch, and I would just go eat like as much as I could. And it wasn't healthy stuff either. It was like stuff that you would, I don't know, that I would eat if I wanted to, like, I don't know, just like, I mean, I don't want to say what they were, but I would eat things that weren't healthy. And a lot of it. And I gained so much weight that the doctor I was seeing at work, who was monitoring me from my drug problem, was no, said to me that my weight was ballooning. That was what he said. And this was a person who didn't know me, who was seeing me like once a week or so, and n noticed this in a short amount of time. And I know that the number of pounds I gained was something like 80 pounds in like a couple months or something like that. I don't know the exact number, but it was a short amount of time and a lot. So I guess I had gotten down, my weight was gone down quite a bit, and then just like skyrocketed. And the doctor s talked to me about that. And I told him, well, I had substituted eating for my drug addiction. And this was like some, I knew this. And he was kind of surprised, like, oh, well, that's something most people don't recognize or don't admit, but I knew it. And I don't know if I had learned something from all those meetings I was going to and everything, but what I learned I learned that I was an addict at that point, that I was addicted and had to substitute for it. What does that beeping mean? I have 5 minutes left. So that was 15.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks. So I decided that I was going to continue going to the 12-step meetings. And after a while, I started noticing that there were other 12-step programs in the same rooms. And one of those was OA. And I thought, oh my gosh, there's a 12-step program for overeating. And I had never even thought of that. So I thought, well, the other 12-step program was working for me. I think at the time I had maybe a few years clean and sober, and was really, really in the program. The other program, Marijuana Anonymous, is the program. And I felt really connected. I was bonding with people. I had a sponsor. I was working the steps. I was recovering from that. And I thought, well, maybe it's time to see if I can recover from my overeating too. So I started going to OA meetings in the same meeting room that my other meeting was in. And at first, I was so involved in my other program that I didn't feel connected to the OA program. And I stopped going because I thought, well, I'll just concentrate on my 12-step program at a time. And then things started getting worse. I felt really bad about the way I was eating, and eventually I surrendered and decided that I needed to make the same commitment I was making to my MA program, to an OA program. So I went to OA meeting and got a sponsor and started working the steps in OA. And so my sponsor started on the first step with me. We worked in the OA 12 and 12 workbook, and I was committed. I started working the steps. I think in the first couple months I lost like a lot of weight. Like, I don't know if it was as much as I gained at the time that I quit doing drugs, but it was pretty quick. I started losing weight. I think I went from 240 down to 190 or something like that, which is pretty good for me. I was keeping track of my weight on an Excel spreadsheet because I like numbers and graphs and stuff. So that was kind of helpful. And I still do, actually. I've really got a lot out of working the steps. I go to meetings. I have service commitments. I always have a service commitment. That's something really important to me. It took me a while. I was going to meetings for probably a few years before I took my first service commitment. And it was kind of funny the way it worked out was I went to a meeting I'd never been to before, thinking maybe I could get a service commitment there because the meetings I was going to didn't need anybody. And I went there and it turned out they needed a secretary. Like the secretary had just like the meeting before had dropped the position. So they needed a secretary. And so I took over that. Secretary was my first commitment. And I got to the meeting early, unlocked it, got things set up with other people who showed up, and was the secretary for that meeting. And that was my first commitment. And so I'm pretty sure I've continuously, for most of the time, which has been since 2006. So I've got 18 years of abstinence. And most of that time I've had at least one service commitment. And so I want to talk a little about what I've gotten out of the program. But I really don't want to overlook the steps and how important that is, working the steps, how much that's helped me, and having a higher power and talking to people has really helped me. And what I've gotten out of the program is better relationships with people and freedom. I feel so free now. Like, I don't hide. I feel like I can be honest with people and let people know who I am, let people know that I made mistakes and don't have to feel like I have to hide things because I'm doing good things now. I really feel like I'm a good person and I have good intentions. And if I do something, sometimes my character defects come back and I have to tell people that I did something, and then they're okay with it. And just it makes my life a lot easier. So I'm really grateful for this program and for all of the help I've gotten from everybody to get me as far as I've gotten. Thank you.